you're noticing I'm reacting this particular way, and you can choose, just
Right.
like you're saying, like, and you're not always going to choose right. You may decide to jump off that cliff into the not bad choice, but
Right.
it's your choice, whatever it is. And so again, I say every moment is an opportunity to start anew, do better than what you did before, or maybe not do better. Just return to yourself and acknowledge, this is how I showed up today or
Right.
at in this moment. And hopefully I can do better. Maybe it'll take a few times. But that's what the mindfulness is, being aware that these are choices you can make and not sort of just reacting or being backed into a corner, you know, and just responding to things. Like, you're choosing. And that's a tremendous, I can't emphasize how tremendous a anecdote that can be.
Welcome to season 5 of the Be Your Own Kind podcast, where we interview individuals that are basking in the lane they have created. To keep up with all things BYOK, visit our website at beyourownkind.com. While there, stop by the BYOK shop to grab our merch to add daily inspiration to your life. BYOK has also created a Facebook group that offers giveaways, business advice, and lots of laughs, and most importantly, sisterhood. Have time for a chat or to just get acquainted with your girl? Go to our site and click under bookings to set up a 30-minute coffee chat. Be sure to tune into the BYOK 2 Cents Live every Wednesday at 9:20 Central Standard Time on the BYOK Platform YouTube channel, or you can listen to us on Fluent Radio at www.fluentradio.com. Last but not least, if you love our content, please, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and share our episodes. Or if you feel so inclined, send a donation to our PayPal at paypal.me/BYOK24. Thank you for rocking with us each season and enjoy the episode. Well, hello, Jill. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Yes. Nice little, is it, how's the weather in New York?
It's raining.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been raining today and yesterday. So,
Okay. It
yeah.
should be out here in Chicago. Got
Oh,
nothing.
yeah. It's kind of humid. I haven't been out. But thankfully, the heat from the summer has started to wind down a little bit. So, I'm glad for that.
Yes, because it was heating up. It was heating up over here in Chicago. But thank you for being on our podcast today. Thank you for just, you know, spending a little time with us to tell us a little bit about what you do and you know, a little bit about your story. But before we get started, can you just give us a quick introduction of who you are?
So my name is Jill Anear. I am certified to teach and lead meditation and to teach mindfulness. I do lead occasional little sessions for people to just kind of stop, pause, and breathe and just get a sense of what a relief that, you know, that can be for just 5 minutes at a time. You know, doesn't have to be a huge thing. I have been formally meditating for, I would say, about 6 or 7 years at this point. How I began to really get into my formal practice was my job, of all places, had some people come in and teach mindful workshops for several months. And so I started with that. I liked it. And then they offered a teacher training, you know, the organization that came in to lead the classes. And I said, oh, let me get a little bit more deeper into that. So I enrolled in their teacher training. That lasted for, I think it was a 6-month program. And we finished just as the pandemic hit. So we finished in February. And then the next month, you know, was lockdown. So I was grateful to be able to have that time in person with my cohort to go through that program and to be able to finish it up. So that's a little bit about how I, you know, got into my formal practice and where I am today.
Okay, I love that. I love that. And I was reading your website, Mindful Renaissance, which literally is like mental liberation. Like, that's how I looked at it. Anytime I see Renaissance, I'm like, a new beginning.
Yes.
Even before Beyonce. But yeah, like, I always love that word or whatever. And while reading your website, I noticed that the four components of Mindful Renaissance is pausing, noticing, resting with, fill in the blank, and choosing an agency just to navigate through life. And I think that's just super interesting. And so I'm wondering, like, how did you come? I know you gave us, like, how did you started, mm-hmm. With the mindfulness and work, but what was going on in your life where you felt you needed to go down this route, like, to, you know, that birthed this whole process of this concept? Mm-hmm.
So, around in 2012, my father passed away. And so that was, like, a major, kind of, life event. And mm-hmm. then there were all these things going on in the world at the time. And I just felt like, oh my goodness, I just cannot go through life with all of this burden on my mind and in my heart and everything. So I felt like I needed to do something to kind of manage that better. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably talk about that a little later. But a lot of times people think that big stresses are the thing to look out for, and you do need to manage those. But what I really am sort of particularly drawn to is this everyday ordinary stress that just wearing you down each day. And I recently listened to a presentation by someone who'd done research on that, and he said, a lot of times we have these little stresses and they're so minor and so familiar that they don't register on our mind as such. But as I've heard many people say, the body keeps the score. And so that stress is having an impact on your physical well-being and certainly your mental and emotional well-being. So just getting through the day-to-day, and everything has been crazy with the politics and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, at some point you just really need to figure out a way to kind of just deal with that, because it's nonstop. Right. And so I find that, a meditative practice is excellent for that. And a lot of people, and I guess we'll talk about that later as well, don't feel it's for them. But my thing is, if you don't think it's for you, you haven't really tried it in the way that it is meant to be practiced. And so a lot of people get discouraged right away because they have certain conceptions about what it is and what it isn't. Mm-hmm. And so I think that everyone could at least try it and probably benefit from it, especially people of color, women of color, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And I feel like people that are like, I'm gonna be honest, when I first started mindfulness, it was too much mindfulness. Like, because it was just too much, like all the thoughts just racing. And you're right, the more you meditate, the more you like, this aggravates me, and it's something that could've been happening for years, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you was, like you said, you just get used to it, And yes. I think that's why some people feel like mindfulness or anything like that isn't for them, is because they're just used to it. Like, they don't think anything needs
yes.
to change. Because mm-hmm. They're not like cognizant of things that are actually bothering them, because mm-hmm. like, this is just how it is. But no, just like
yes.
you don't have to stay how you are, things don't have to stay how they are either,
Exactly. A lot of times people talk about, oh, I need to do something about my stress. Oh, I'm so stressed. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they think, but that's just the way it is. Stress is a part of life. And, there's nothing to do, nothing that I could do about it. So they don't really think about it. But once you do experience some degree of relief just from stopping a minute, you're like, oh, wow, I have been missing out. And there is something to be done. So if you'd like, I can get into kind of what is it appropriate for and what it's not appropriate for, because there are limits to it. So For one thing, meditation and mindfulness does not necessarily solve any problems that you have, and particularly like if you have any kind of underlying health issues, because stress gives genesis to or mimics these sort of symptoms that you might have. So it is always best to consult with a licensed professional healthcare provider, medical doctor, or even, you know, a therapist or something like that, to get a handle on what your particular circumstances are. And so they may say, oh yes, a mindful practice will be helpful, but to just really get at what some underlying issues might be that you're having that need additional support other than, you know, just meditation. So that's one thing to keep in mind. As I was saying before, it doesn't solve the thing or change the things that you're dealing with, but it helps you to relate to them differently and perceive them in different ways. So say there's somebody that's kind of like annoying, and every time you encounter them, you have some kind of clash. With a mindful kind of practice, what you'll start to be more cognizant of is, what are those things that are triggering me? What, and then when you are aware, that's when you can make change. And even though it's just like this narrow little gap between what you're feeling and what that supposed source of stress is, that ability to choose what's going to happen next, what am I going to do next, that is the first step in getting relief, because that ability to choose is your agency that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. That is a big factor in feeling not so, because a lot of stress comes from feeling like you don't have control.
Right.
And a lot of things you don't have control over, but there are things that you do have control over and can do something about. So you're clearing your plate of the things that don't need to be there, so that when the things that you can't control or rise up unexpectedly, your reserves have not been depleted to deal with those things. And so a mindful meditative practice just builds your capacity to get to that place. So you can start off with kind of short kind of sessions, but it's like exercise for that non-tangible part of yourself. So when we physically exercise, we build capacity to say walk farther or climb stairs or whatever.
Right.
But over time, the same thing happens with meditation. Like you were saying, when you first started it, it was just so much. So the meditation gives you that discipline to kind of, you know, take those thoughts, intervene in the volume that they're occurring or the quality of them, and just sort of partner with the mind and say, okay, just slow it down a little bit. Like you will never get the mind to stop thinking. That's what it does. But you can sort of partner with it, persuade it, and say, hey, let's try to slow this down. Or it also builds your capacity to place your attention where you want it. So I like to think of mindfulness as paying attention to your attention. Mm-hmm. And so where you're putting it makes all the difference. So again, you're not eliminating these things, but when you can shift your focus to something else, even momentarily, then you can get some relief, build up those reserves again, and then maybe you have a little bit more reserve to deal with that outside of your practice. And I always like to tell people that when you're meditating, we call it a sit, or on the cushion is another phrase. You're not meant to solve anything there. That is a place or a time for you to show up as you are, as best you can in that moment, and just notice what's coming up. So that's one of the parts of my framework, is just to notice what's there. You're not doing anything about it, or you're not deciding. In that moment when you're meditating, when you come out of your session or your sit, then you may say, wow, that keeps coming up again and again, maybe I need to look into that. But that's outside of that. Just like with exercise, you may feel a certain kind of high or benefit from when you're doing the exercise, but mostly it's hard, sweaty work.
Yes.
But you notice your progress outside of that. You notice, oh, this isn't as hard to do. I can maybe lift a little bit more my groceries, or I can walk farther. The success is to be noticed outside in your life more so than when you're doing that work to get to that.
Mm-hmm. I love all of this. I love all of this because you're right. You know, just a funny story. I used to get irritated when like people just wake up and start like barking orders, or at work, people walk in the office and they're like, did you get my email? And I realized, like, I like people to say good morning. Like, if this is your first time seeing me, I want good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is first. Like, I don't know what that is. But then I tell people, like, hey, what's wrong with just saying good morning, you know? And I realized everybody's not going to do that, right? So I had to learn to, like, not be mad at everybody. But just something so small as, hey, I need you to acknowledge the day or acknowledge me before you just start barking orders when we first see each other, you know? And I know that may sound weird to somebody else, but for some reason, that's just my thinking. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
So I don't get, but then I also have to check myself in the meditation. Like, you also can't control if people gonna address you or acknowledge you in that moment, you know, so be okay with the fact that everyone is not good morning people, you know, so.
Yes, that's exactly right. Like, when you're noticing I'm reacting this particular way, and you can choose, just right. Like you're saying, like, and you're not always going to choose right. You may decide to jump off that cliff into the bad choice.
Right.
But it's your choice, whatever it is. And so, again, I say every moment is an opportunity to start anew, do better than what you did before, or maybe not do better. Just return to yourself and acknowledge, this is how I showed up today,
right,
or in this moment, and hopefully I can do better. Maybe it'll take a few times, but that's what the mindfulness is, being aware that these are choices you can make and not sort of just reacting or being backed into a corner, you know, and just responding to things. Like, you're choosing, and that's a tremendous, I can't emphasize how tremendous a antidote to stress that can be. Just the ability to choose and feel like you have some efficacy or intervention into what's going on.
Yeah, I love that. Now this is the part where, like, it's the first component of the mindful renaissance, pausing. And I thought, like, even with the mindfulness, it's still that matter of, when do I pause? When do I pause when I'm a business owner, or, for instance, someone that's a mother, or you got people caring for their parents, caring for their children, then they're entrepreneurs, then they have a career, then all of this, like, can you give tips of how a person can even start at that pause moment? You know, like, when to pause, you know?
Yes. So, what I say is, even the shortest bit of pause can have benefit. Obviously, the longer you're able to pause, or the more time you invest in anything, you'll get better at it sooner. But that is not to say you cannot get benefit and relief from short stints. So what I recommend people do at the very least is to just stop a moment, take a breath or two or three, let it out, and then get back to what you're doing. Because as you say, sometimes there's things that demand your attention, and you can't just, you know, stop and, you know, for a length of time. But even just taking that breath, if it's 5 minutes, if it's a minute, to just have awareness, what's going on right now? What do I feel? You notice you feel like a little anxious or irritated or whatever. Just stopping can allow you to choose, okay, I'm feeling irritated, so when so-and-so comes in, not saying good morning, I know that I'm a little bit on edge, and that might tend to provoke a certain response, and I can choose to be aware that I don't have to step into that. So that is what I recommend to get started. Just going through your normal day, just taking time throughout the day just to notice what's going on right now. How do I feel inside? What's going on outside? Taking breaths. Breaths just reset and help tone the parasympathetic nervous system, and to just sort of just like take it down a notch a little bit. So that's what I would recommend for people to stop, no matter what role they're in, parent, caregiver, you know, solopreneur, whatever. If you don't have time to just take even a minute to breathe, you can go for a while without water or food, but if you don't breathe, that's going to be a problem. So just breathe. And I remember speaking with someone, and they said, you know, I didn't realize that I didn't really take good breath, like one good breath today. And she said, wasn't even a particularly stressful day at all. But she noticed once attention was called to it of breathing that, you know, she hadn't really stopped, you know, to take some time for herself.
Welcome to Cooking with Curves, the cookie shop that also teaches you how to make cookies. But first, let's get into these cookies, because that's what we came for, the cookies. So we make oatmeal-based cookies in 9 amazingly delicious flavors. And you could come in, choose from one of our flavors, and get it boxed up in a 4-cookie box, a 6-cookie box, and a 12-cookie box. And also, every Saturday and Sunday, we have hands-on baking classes for all ages. So you could come in, roll up those sleeves, and make some cookie magic with us. Fun, easy, and cookies are involved. So, of course, it'll be sweet. Book your next baking experience with us at cookingwithcurves.com. It'll be like the sweetest decision like you ever make, and you so won't regret it. So stop through, pick up some of your faves, or come to one of our baking classes. We can't wait to bake with you all. See you soon.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. People often think anxiety looks one way, but it has many faces and many emotions that sometimes can be overwhelming and daunting. I know about this feeling all too well, because at a point I felt powerless to my emotions, almost to the point of drowning in them. So I decided to seek out a therapist to later learn that I have generalized anxiety disorder. If you have been experiencing the same feeling, please know that BetterHelp is here to help. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. You have the option of talking with a therapist in a private, online environment at your convenience. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that gives you access to help that may not be available in under 48 hours. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific need, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Then you will schedule secure video and phone sessions, plus you get to exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is completely confidential. Thanks to therapy, I learned the tools that I needed to conquer my anxiety and over-obsessive thinking. I did it afraid, and I took that leap to talk with someone, to later learn that it was going to be okay and that I was going to be okay. Please know that you can request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime. Join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. And better yet, get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/BYOK. That's BetterHelp.com/BYOK, because you deserve it.
The book is a collection of essays. It's part memoir. It talks about the things that I went through growing up in the Catholic Church and the abuse that I experienced. It talks about the residential schools, and it talks about girls in Canada and how our voices are not heard and not listened to and not respected and not treated with the respect that they deserve. Lots of people look at Canada and they go, oh, it's such a great country and everybody's so kind. Everybody loves a Canadian. But the thing is that girls suffer exponentially in this country. Our education suffers, our mental health suffers, and we're not talking about that. We don't talk about it in Canada. We're very good at keeping our secrets and pretending that everything is fine on the surface. Meanwhile, underneath, everything is bubbling. And so this book is really dedicated to the girls of the world who feel like their voices have been stomped on and not heard.
Well, and it's not purposeful, right? Because like I said, you got so many things going. But I feel like what you said earlier, your body keeps record. I love that. I've never heard it like put succinctly put like that. You know, you may think, oh, I'm fine, and your heart and your organs, whatever's gonna bother you, is like, you're not, you're not, we're not fine. And it's kind of like it protects itself, right? Like it's constantly trying to heal and it's constantly trying to this, and we just push it past its limits. And I think that's when we're made to sit down. I remember I was working so hard one time doing this, staying up to 3 in the morning, then going to my primary job, and I sat down for 1 second, I just went to sleep. Like, and I woke up like my body literally just said no. And I was in the middle of doing something, and I fell asleep, and I woke up in a chair. Like, not like, when did I even fall asleep? Like, your body knows how to stop you.
It will. It definitely will.
But Jill, you brought up an excellent point about projecting. How, especially people in customer service, I think they get projected on way often than anybody else. Where people just. They just got a lot of stuff going on, and whatever they're going on, they project it on the person next to them. And I think that does also come from not taking that breath. Like, I'm not the one you're mad at. You don't even know me, but you know, you're taking it out. You're taking it out on me, or taking it out and when you go to McDonald's or when you go to the bank, you know, and these people are just doing their jobs. You
Yes.
know, and I feel like I don't even think some people are not even cognizant of how they project their stress off on others,
Yes.
even the ones close to them, you know? So,
Absolutely.
yeah. So that's what I'm thinking about that pause, like, because I feel like that pause is that self-awareness period, right?
That gives you the opportunity to kind of take a check on, you know, what's happening. And that leads into the notice part is to literally notice what's happening. And again, not trying to necessarily do anything about it in that moment, but just becoming aware. And if you get, and like, meditation is a practice. So this is an ongoing, recurring thing. It's not sort of like, oh, I did this, you know, this morning and I'm set for the rest of the month or whatever. A practice means to do over and over. And with meditation, it's not like arriving at a destination. It's this ongoing grooming. I think of it as, again, this daily hygiene for your spirit. And just like you comb your hair every day, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, it's not thought of like, oh, I can take a shower on January 1st and then I'm good. You do these things over and over again because they get messed up with the wear and tear of the daily living. So the noticing part is just grooming yourself to just be in the habit of noticing what's happening, but not getting overwhelmed by it because you have some strategies that you can just, you know, just kind of halt, take some time for yourself, and then continue. And then as you get better at that those thoughts and emotions are going to be less disruptive, and you can start to notice also what are the particular triggers of those things, and be more even proactive about, oh, I know I'm going into this situation or I'm encountering this person. And you'll start to notice like what exactly it is about that person or situation that gets you going. And then again, you can start making choices about, why does that bother me? Is there another way that I can interact with that? Choosing always.
I love that. I love that. Now the next one, resting. That one is what was amazing to me. I love the concept of accepting, like, I wanted it to go this way. It didn't, but that's okay. And I feel like that is like high level emotional intelligence. challenges, right? Because we sit, we do all the planning, you know, this is the goal, micro goals, all of this, and you do all the things, all the right things, and sometimes it just doesn't pan out. And so I think this is a personal question for myself, but like, what are the types of questions that a person can ask themselves to reframe their perspective when they're like in this, like with instances like these, you know, when things just not panning out the way you want them to?
Okay, so one thing that I do a lot, and it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but I use a lot of visualization in my practice. So what I do is when, say, something didn't go as expected, is to notice that, and then also kind of look at that, like, what am I feeling? And then I take it a step further and say, what is the quality of that thing that I'm feeling at the time? And I personify it or make it like an object, like I imagine it to be an object. So I think, what are the qualities of that? So if you're feeling sort of disappointed, I think of, what does disappoint, like, first you name it, like, I feel disappointed. Then what I do is I say, okay, what is the nature of that disappointment? Does it have a style to it? How would it dress if it was to walk in the room and or sit down next to me? Do they wear scent? You know, are they tall or thin? Like, what is their persona? And so what that does is it allows you to separate a little bit from that feeling. Now, you're not kind of just going off into the stratosphere with it, but you're just kind of removing a little bit so you can examine it without being embodied by that feeling. And so I find that useful because I get insights as to, oh, okay. Because sometimes, like, it's going on in the background what I'm feeling, and I don't notice it consciously until I stop and pause and I stop and say, what do I feel like? And I'll say, oh, I kind of noticed that I feel a little unsettled. What is that like? Mm-hmm. Oh, it feels kind of like fizzy soda bubbles or something like that. Or, you know, just anything, because again, meditation is not about stopping or controlling your thoughts. It's about noticing and placing your attention how you want it. And so you want to shift away from this embodied feeling of, oh, this didn't go right, to, okay, this is what the feeling of that is. Now, in realistic terms, once you, you know, separate from that embodied feeling, it gives you a little more wiggle room to stop and think, well, what actually did happen? Okay, this went okay, but I could maybe boost up this other part the next time and make it go better. You know, things don't, like they say, no plan survives the battlefield. So you look at that and you say, oh, there were some things that went well, and I want to keep doing those or build on those, and some other things I see where, okay, I could have done this differently or a little better. And so once you allow that self-compassion for yourself to consider what you're doing and to not feel overcome by that, that is what resting with is to sit with and let those emotions come in, acknowledge them, because when you try to push them away, they are gonna kind of try to poke their way through again. And so when I'm in a meditation session with myself and things come up, I use visualization a lot, I have a whole little parlor that I send these guests in and say, okay, I'm acknowledging you, just have a seat in there, we'll be with you, you know, because this is a way that you acknowledge what's happening, but not letting it disrupt. Like, you want to sort of be intervening in that process. And so to me, that is what resting with is. It's just really kind of sitting with those feelings that even in the sitting with is uncomfortable, and coming to terms with there's discomfort is a part of life, and to not shy away from it. Because you miss a lot when you kind of avoid certain things. And again, sometimes those things could be overwhelming. And this is why I say you may need additional support from a professional healthcare provider to help you work through things, but at least in the session that you're having with yourself is to become aware, oh, this is a thing, and I may need some additional help with that. That's perfectly fine.
I love that. I love that emotional sitting room. Like, everybody, okay, everybody, all the emotions, sit here for a minute.
Yes.
I love that, because no one waits longer in a waiting room than when you go to the doctor, right? So by the time you see the doctor, you're healed, because they're like, how are you feeling? I don't even know anymore. But I love that, because sometimes when you rest and sit with it, you realize it was very small. Mm-hmm. It's not even gonna matter in the next 10 minutes. That's the questions I ask myself, like, is this even gonna matter in the next 20 minutes or tomorrow or a couple of months? Some stuff do, but most mm-hmm. stuff, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love that emotional sitting room. And so now we're into you kind of brought up a couple of agencies that people can use to help them, to help support them, you know, while on this journey. We mentioned therapy, we mentioned acknowledgement, you know, or just sitting in our emotions. What are other agencies that you would suggest?
So, one big part of getting through this life, no one does it alone. Community, supportive community. And when that functions well, it is a source, again, that mitigates stress and is a source of resilience. And so if you can partner with others to do, and it doesn't have to be around whatever the issues are, but some creative endeavor. Like, I noticed I wasn't getting the kind of support I needed in terms of at my job. So I sought additional community outside of that, and I decided to take a writing workshop to express creativity. Again, these are different ways to focus your attention differently, use different parts of the brain to nourish your spirit. So any kind of like creative endeavors, maybe you want to get exercise. So getting with other people who have that goal and doing it with others, that is an excellent way to support this sort of agency. So a mindful practice doesn't necessarily have to be done sitting in a chair. Get out in nature. Nature is another source of calming of the spirit, like just to be out in it. And you don't have to go camping or anything, but just getting out in the park, just getting out with fresh air and noticing what's going on, like what season is it? You know, are the trees in full leaf or are they bare? You know, is it spring? Is it winter? Is the sky blue? You know, like all of these things to notice, and then find what in there inspires you and that you appreciate. Like, I live in New York City, in the Bronx, steps away from the New England Thruway. Traffic always, but within that, I am fortunate in my little corner where I live to have a lot of trees. And so I love trees. They are, I think, like the superheroes of, you know, they do so much for us. And then I'm living next to this, near this park again, also. And so just appreciating that. And so three like key attributes, I think, of a mindful practice is gratitude, compassion, and humility, of just knowing you're not in this alone. If somebody else is experiencing something similar, might not be exact, but in that way, we are connected in that way, that there are things that are particular to being a human being, and we all experience some aspect of that at some point, you know, fear, loss, illness, or whatever it is. So those are the three attributes that you could try to cultivate, and just being noticing what's in my life, like even when something went bad, appreciating, you know, what's good about it, you know, what is giving you that life, so to speak. And compassion particularly, because we talk about extending compassion to others, but if you don't cultivate it for yourself and extend it to yourself, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to extend it to others because you don't have it to give to someone. So you really need to not beat yourself up too much when things don't seem to have gone the way you expected, and recognizing that what we aspire to as an ideal may not be what it looks and feels like when you're actually doing it. So success looks different when you're in it than what you anticipated it to look, and recognizing that, and all of these things are all different ways of working with the mind and just, you know, partnering with that state, that those mind states that you get into. And what I like about having this practice is it's very simple. You don't necessarily have to go out and do anything expensive or buy equipment. You have everything already that you need to get started at the very least. You have the breath, you have your body, you have your mind, and those three things you can get started. And you don't have to go for long periods of time. People think, oh, I have to sit 30 minutes, an hour. No, start off slow. Do 5 minutes. Build up your capacity to go longer. When I first started, I think I was doing maybe 10 minutes, gradually built it up to where now I do about 20 minutes, sometimes 30. And I have like a whole routine that I have that has allowed me to sustain that. So start small and go from there.
I love that. Because it's all about what works for you. And mm-hmm. It's great to have all of these different ideas, but you got to find something that works for you. You know, and yes. Something that works for one person won't from another, but it's so many options out here. So I'll just say test trial, like we do with anything in life. We go to buy pants, and you may have to try on 50 different pants until you find the ones that fit perfectly. And I feel like that's how anything is with life. You know, you just gotta see which thing fits you the most. And I think that's a lot of stress too, you know, trying to follow someone else's blueprint. I know this is a big thing. Oh, I've read this thing a million times. All successful people wake up at 5 a.m. So I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. Never can wake up at 5 a.m. And I'm like, I'm failing. But you know what? 6 a.m., 7 a.m. works for me. You know, and it's like, Renita, you're not going to. Then I read somewhere where it's like, all millionaires do not wake up at
5 a.m. That is exactly right.
I'm better because really nighttime works for me. It's quiet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good at 11, 12, 1 in the zone, right? But then I had to stop that because earlier I told you I just fall asleep. And so I finally found a time, but it was me test trialing. But at first, I was so suspended to that 5 a.m. Like,
yes.
And that was stressing me out. That's how mm-hmm. it is with weight loss. Like, they tried Jenny Craig, and Jenny Craig worked for them, but it's not working for you. And so you like, I'm never going to lose weight. Or you see people follow this certain blueprint to be millionaires, and you're doing all of this. And it's like, I'm not making a dollar on my store. You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like, putting in perspective of, it's nice to try this, but if it doesn't work for me, let me try something else. And that too stops all those emotions, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's highly individual. And when I lead a meditation, I always tell people my suggestions or my guidances are invitations to try, but there's no right way to do it.
Right.
Just show up as you can, as best you can. Don't force anything. There's no getting it right. You have to do what works for you, you know, whatever your limitations might be.
Exactly. And that's where that self-compassion comes in. Like, okay, I tried it. At least I tried. Let me try something else, you know, instead of us looking for other people's results. And I always say that that's the social media is great, but one of the detriments of it is the art of comparison and how that's kind of perpetuated. Even when you're not trying to mimic, it's thrown in your face and you like, oh, maybe I can. It's ads. And even when they added ads to social media sites, I'm like, oh my God. Like, get this template here. Join this course here. Learn how to be your best self. That's my favorite course. Just have somebody teach you what's your best. I mean, they can tell you how to tap into it, but to, I don't know. I'm not going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're selling hope, but they're selling their perspective of hope. And if you're going to have a program like that, make it wiggle room where people can kind of find their own way and not be sad or depressed or defeated if they don't reach this, you know, particular goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I am a platform like that. Like, be yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. This and that. And it's like, I'm like, I don't profess to be an expert. All I'm saying is this is what I'm going through. And I just want to let you know that if you're going through this too, you're not alone.
Yes. That's the basic fundamental thing that you can tell people is you are not alone. And this society makes us feel that way. And so we have to fight through that.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh my God, Jill, this is amazing. Like, I could have asked like 50 million questions, but I was nice today. But here at BYOK, we have a signature question. If you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be and why?
I'm persistent. And so I always, like, when I come up to challenges, they can feel scary. And I notice that and I feel that. And then I say, what is the one thing I could do to move the needle even a little bit? So that persistence in trying, and like you said, trying on different things, seeing what works, just try. You cannot, if you don't try and you don't take a chance, then you won't have a success. But if you try something and fail, then try something again and succeed. So I would say persistence of keeping my eye on the prize and then just taking one little step each day. Sometimes I feel like I'm not moving at all, but you take these little steps and then you look back and you've accumulated a bunch of steps and you've arrived at the destination. And so we think of, well, I need this big contiguous, time to, get to whatever I want to do. And realistically, you don't always have that. So you try and use these little bits and pieces. It seems counterintuitive, but you do put those all together and they add up. So I would say persistence in following through on what it is I'm trying to accomplish.
I love that. So if someone wants to reach out to you and work with you with Mindful Renaissance, how would they be able to reach you?
So my contact information is on the website, so they can just send me an email through that. I will respond to that. Mm-hmm. And one of the best ways to kind of familiarize yourself and get to know me is through my newsletter. I have a weekly newsletter and I talk about different tips about managing stress and meditation and mindfulness and, things that I've experienced and how I incorporate it into my everyday life. So that's a really simple way, and there's a contact on there. You just hit reply on that, and I'm just happy. I thrill when people email me and I can respond and answer questions or anything like that. So those are two ways.
I love that. You have any projects or anything you're working on that you want to announce for the future?
At the moment, no. I'm sort of in my quarter four push and just get polishing up some existing projects and then getting myself set up for the new year. I kind of used the fall for that. So mm-hmm. at the moment, other than I do have a mindful reset sessions, which was the just feeling what it is like to pause and breathe. Mm-hmm. I haven't set the final date yet. So I'll share that information in my newsletter, and I am on social media on Instagram and Facebook. So I announce those things there as well. Okay. And so the links to all of that, I believe, should be at, in my newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it'll also be in the notes. But for people listening, what is your Instagram handle?
Yes, Mindfully Jill, @ Mindfully Jill.
Mm-hmm. Okay, love that, yes. Love that. So follow her @ Mindfully Jill. Look, we all need to follow you, because look, I'm speaking for myself. Any tips I can get to reframe my perspective is ideal for me, because that's in the space that I'm in now. Just learning how to appreciate the gray space, the in-between. Not just be happy when the goal is reached, but be happy in the journey of while I'm reaching the goal. And so that's where I'm at on my gratitude road, because I find that I'm more grateful when I'm paying attention, like you said, to those little things. It's those little things. Just like the little things build up with aggression, little things build up in gratitude as well. You know, and so that's the space that I'm in. So I feel like, viewers, I feel like you all are in that space too, from the feedback that I get and on social media. So be sure to follow Jill to get more tips on to dealing with those stressors, and knowing that we all have stresses, from the richest to the poor. We all have stresses. They're different, but we all got some stresses, okay? When you put those things in perspective, then they don't take over our life, and they don't cause us to waste time or cause us to be burnt out. So it's very important to be cognizant and aware, and I thank you for spreading that information, because it's definitely needed.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed our conversation. I love sharing this information with others.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jill, for being on. This is a gem of information. You are a gem to the world. And so next time, everyone, don't forget to be kind to yourself. And once you do that, according to Jill, you can be kind to others. And so next time, bye.
Bye-bye.